Krishna Nika Komadi, Late Night Pastimes, Nisha Leela, 10:48 p.m. to 3:36 a.m. Meeting the Gopis. The lotus-eyed gopis are Krishna's eternal consorts. Their connection with other coward men is only apparent. Actually, Yogamaya makes duplicate bodies of the gopis and covers their relatives with illusion so the gopis can freely meet Krishna during the night. The gopis spend the first part of the night in their homes, afflicted by the evil planet of Krishna Prema. The Braja gopis do not care a fig for qualities like shyness and self-control. With the help of the inconceivably powerful Yogamaya, the gopis easily surmount all obstacles and prepare to meet Krishna. The gopis decorate themselves with ivory earrings and a variety of pearl belts, armlets, and necklaces. They scent their hair with malati garlands and tint their complexions with sandalwood cosmetics. Adorned in spotless cloth, the gopis shine like the moonlight. The luster of their excited eyes and eyebrows is reduced slightly by their veils, which extend without restriction to their delicate swan-like feet. One cannot distinguish between the effulgence of the gopis and that of the camphor dust sprinkled on the footpath. Out of eagerness to meet Krishna, the gopis try to run quickly, but due to their wide hips, they become fatigued and move slowly. Mistaking the rays of the moon to be a garden of silver creepers, the Braja gopis reach out to take the creepers' support to relieve their fatigue. Sometimes the gopis' legs become paralyzed out of separation from Krishna. And sometimes the gopis tremble with delight as they contemplate their upcoming love sports with their dearest. Thinking of Krishna's touch, their bodies erupt in goosebumps. In this way, the gopis shower the night with sweet smiles as they move through the moonlight to rendezvous with Krishna. With their bodies glowing under the rays of the moon, the Braja gopis seem to be wearing moonlight for clothes as they rush to meet Shyam. When they suddenly lose their way on the path, due to mistaking their own lusters with that of the moon, their confidential mundaries show the right path. Slowed down by the heaviness of her beautiful wide hips, Radhika takes support of her dearest Sakhi's hand to move steadily toward the home of her beloved. Perspiration soaks her body and lamentation melts her mind as Radha considers the great distance to her destination. Radha thinks that the extra weight of her ornaments is slowing her down, so she hastily discards her lotus flower waist belt and her anklets made of kunda flowers. After walking a little further, Radha also throws away her white play lotus flower and the malika and karavira flowers decorating her hair. Meeting Krishna. Meanwhile, Krishna gets up after a short nap and starts playing his enchanting flute. The messenger of Krishna's flute affectionately urges Radhika to hasten to Shyam. With the help of that messenger, Radha abandons her pride and hurries toward her destination. Radha runs wherever that skillful messenger of love known as Krishna's flute song appears. Radhika's friend named Eagerness encourages, saying, "Go, go!" Radha is completely under the spell of that messenger. Beautiful and exalted Vrindadevi is the presiding goddess of the gardens beside Krishna's bedroom. Knowing that Radha will soon arrive and that it is time for Krishna's night pastimes, Vrindadevi comes there to serve the divine couple. Vrinda and her Vanadevis make all tasteful arrangements for Radha Govinda's happiness. Krishna enters that forest garden which is purified by the rays of the moon in order to enjoy pastimes with Radhika and the Braja gopis. After sitting comfortably upon a grand seat in a jewel-studded platform, which is bathed by the moonlight and situated near that best of groves, Shyam sends Vrindadevi to welcome Radha and her sakis and bring them to him. Vrinda goes quickly to the entrance where she beholds a most fast-moving effulgent creeper. Joyfully, Vrinda meets that garden creeper in the form of Radha. Their mutual auras produce a most attractive excellence. Seeing Krishna, as if he had just emerged from her heart to appear before her, Radha happily realizes that she has finally attained Shyam, who showers her heart with affection. Then Radhika continues, "Where am I? Where did I come from? How and why did I arrive here? What path did I traverse?" On seeing her lord, Radha swoons in the ecstasy of Krishna bliss. As a snake enchanted by mantra withholds its poison, Radha returns Krishna's seductive glances with her own. Beholding her beloved, his flower garden, the beautiful moonlit night, and the attractive kunjas decorated with creepers, Radha's fever of separation disappears before the waves of ecstasy rising within her body. After leaving her elder's home, Radhika feels immense joy in her mind, so she praises the wonderful arrangements of Vrinda. Upon meeting the gopis, Vrinda notices that their tender bodies have become tired from their arduous Abhisara love journey. To relieve them, Vrinda places each gopi at the door of a Madhavi blossom pavilion and orders the creepers to fan them with their fresh shoots. The creepers feel completely satisfied as they serve the gopis under Vrinda's order. Gracefully holding his flute in his hand, Shyam approaches the gopis. To comfort them, he personally fans them with the edge of his cloth. This sweet gesture flushes the gopis' faces with embarrassment. Krishna, the crown jewel of Ras, takes the hand of Radha, who has overcome all obstacles to meet her Priyatama, and shows her the beauty of the groves. Radha Madhava stop here and there at various jeweled platforms standing below the thickly foliated trees. Picking out the best seat, Krishna rests for a few moments with his beloved. The divine couple then wander slowly through the groves, gazing repeatedly upon the spectacular beauty of the forest, which resounds with the buzzing of maddened bees. Krishna doubles the beauty of the moonlight with the waves of light from his attractive teeth as he smiles slightly before speaking some sweet words to doe-eyed Radha. Krishna says, "Hey, Priyaji, just see the deer." Upon awakening, the deer are standing in groups under the trees and creepers observing the beauty of your graceful movements. Though it is night, the flocks of birds in the trees cannot sleep due to enjoying the sight of your pastimes. Just see how eager the shining creepers are to serve your limbs with their leaves and flowers, just like your maidservants. The steady drone of the maddened bees constantly reverberates through these groves, which are more auspicious than your house. Look at the beautiful shadows created by the tiny beams of moonlight passing through the tree branches. To purify the splendor of the forest at your arrival, the wind moves about here and there through the leaves like a sieve. Krishna is an ocean of bliss and fully versed in all the ways of love. While glorifying his beloved with the choicest poetry, Krishna ambles along with doe-eyed Radhika until they return to the Madhavi pavilion. Here, many hilarious events will occur during the upcoming festival of drinking honey wine. The pastime of drinking honey liquor. Madhupan Leela. In great happiness, Vrinda Devi prepares all the ingredients for the drinking pastimes. Crystal wine glasses stand on a handsome silk cloth, which shines like the moon and covers a beautiful platform made of cat's eye gems. Vrinda brings crystal decanters full of honey liquor, which blinds the bees with its aroma, and tasty appetizers covered with a silk cloth. Long garlands of fragrant flowers embrace the necks of the decanters. The pots of liquor appear like treasure pots of love's pastimes. Krishna and the joyful Sakis appreciate the excellent arrangements of Vrinda Devi, who is especially empowered to fulfill Krishna's desires. Induced by the Sakis, Vrinda holds Krishna's hand and carefully seats him on a jeweled platform beside Radhika. The gopis, whose exquisite bodies radiate beauty in all directions, take Krishna's permission and sit down in rows near the divine couple. It seems the moonlight has become a bangle to encircle the bodies of the gorgeous gopis. Radha Madhava and their circle of confidential friends appear like a dark blue rain cloud, ornamented with lightning and surrounded with a lattice of moonlight. Tonight, Krishna will submerge everyone in an ocean of ecstasy as he enthusiastically initiates the drinking festival. All the Vyabhachari Bhava's transitory emotions, headed by shyness, eagerness, remembrance, thoughtfulness, steadiness, tolerance, jubilation, envy, worry, fear, fatigue, madness, and their assistants arrive one by one to serve the youthful couple at the appropriate time. Radha Madhava sit upon an elegant throne before the assembly of sakis. Vrinda adorns their necks with garlands she has personally threaded with varieties of exceptional flowers. The intoxicating fragrance of these flower garlands drives the bees to madness. Then Vrinda saturates the air with clouds of black agaru incense mixed with piles of powdered camphor. As the drinking festival begins, the trees under Vrinda's direction shower flowers upon the forest floor. The bees stick their sharp goad-like heads into the malika flowers and buzz deeply like the sound of Cupid's conch. Clusters of sweet-smelling creepers begin dancing back and forth, having been taught from childhood by their teacher, the wind. The glittering crystal goblets compete with the moonlight in such a way that Vrinda becomes confused as she fills them with honey liquor. For a moment, a doubt crosses her mind. Did I really fill the goblet with honey liquor, or did I pour the honey on the ground? I cannot understand. Vrinda offers the sparkling crystal goblets to Radha Shyam with her right hand and waves a blue lotus flower over the goblets with her left hand to drive away the bees eager to taste the aromatic honey liquor. Filling all directions with their radiant auras, Radha and Krishna shoo away the bees hovering over their goblets while Vrinda distributes honey wine to all the sakis participating in the drinking party. Seeing everyone's cup full of liquor, Krishna lifts his cup to Radha's lips and says, "First you drink some and then give it to me." Without tasting the liquor, Radha smells the cup while bowing her head and then offers it to Krishna. It appears Radhika is giving some secret instruction in the science of conjugal love. Shyam smells the sweet fragrance of Radha's lotus face on the cup and then slowly drinks the honey liquor. After pausing to think for a long time, Krishna lets out a belly laugh and drinks again with great gusto. Radha, as if reading the most confidential book on prema, smiles and bows her head in shyness to convey her desire to drink the sweet honey from Krishna's cup. Radha has no desire to drink from her own cup. Agari Krishna gives his affectionate consent with a charming smile and then offers Radhika the nectar of his lips, saying, "Please drink." After relishing the drink, Radha begins sipping from her own glass. Krishna then takes his glass and begins drinking. Seeing this, the sakis smilingly say, "Oh, such actions are not astonishing in the presence of such intense love." Vrinda joyfully offers another glass of honey liquor to Radha Shyam. Taking a little, they give the rest to the sakis. The gopis take some and then start drinking from their own glasses. In this way, Radha Shyam and the Braja gopis complete the first round of drinking. As their hearts expand with bliss, Radha Shyam and the gopis manifest unlimited changes, beginning with reddening of the eyes. For some sakis, one drink is enough to completely satisfy their desires. Though continually requested, they do not drink again. They are eager to witness Krishna's pastimes of intoxication with the gopis who display many auspicious moods during the drinking party. They also manifest symptoms such as baseless fear, inappropriate shame, unnecessary weeping, quarreling without a cause, uncalled for agony, seeing without an object, and speaking without a listener. After this, they show signs such as fumbling speech, stuttering, unsteady hearts, constantly squinting eyes, quivering bodies, anger, silence, torpor, satisfaction, laughing, irrational speech, and loss of discrimination. One gopi cannot see her crystal goblet due to the brilliant moonlight, so she thinks Vrinda has not served her any honey wine. As a result, she displays worry, anger, pride, laughter, detachment, and unsteadiness. Overwhelmed with pride, another gopi refuses to drink. One saki says, "See, sakis, The moon has entered my glass, so how can I drink this liquor? Oh, if I chew it, I will have trouble. This glass of honey wine has become foul-smelling due to being touched by the spots on the moon. I feel it is completely wrong to drink this liquor. Another gopi, seeing the shadow from a swarm of bees passing overhead, thinks it is some contamination in her drink. Bending her finger, she stirs it around in the glass and then strains the drink with a cloth. Picking up the glass, she heartily drinks it again and again. Oh, this is disastrous. The sky is falling. The earth is moving. Oh, friends, hold me up. I am falling over. Saying this, one drunken sake embraces another sake. Then in a sweet voice, she says, Oh, friend, because I am healthy, I will live a long time. The state of identifying oneself as a lover feeling separation suddenly appears as one of the transformations brought about by drinking the honey liquor. Reversing their identities, Krishna acts like Radha, and Radha acts like Krishna. They speak to each other while mildly laughing. Radha says to Krishna, Oh, Radha! Krishna replies, Oh, Krishna! Radha says, Are you my servant? No, you are my very life. Without you, I cannot sustain my body. The affectionate words that Radhasham speak to each other while briefly reversing their roles are most attractive to the mind. Radhasham whispers soft, meaningless sentences in each other's ears. Then they laugh, stumble, and roll about and kiss each other on the cheeks. Radhasham do not feel the least bit of fatigue while relishing these pleasurable pastimes. Finding the lost Kastuba gem. Somehow, Krishna's Kastuba gets hidden among his necklaces and garlands and seems to disappear. Not seeing the jewel, Radha becomes fearful and tries to be helpful, saying, Hey Krishna, where's your Kastuba? Krishna replies, You stole it! Radha replies, I did not. Vishakha took it. Vishakha interjects, I didn't steal it. Lalita did. Lalita blurts out and says, I didn't do it. Induleka stole your gem. Krishna and the drunken gopis start quarreling over the theft of the Kastuba gem. One Saki shouts, Hey, cheater! Desiring to have your heart all to itself, your crafty Vajayanti garland stole the jewel. Krishna replies, I know, O tricky garland. You stole my Kastuba, so you should be punished. O thief, please return my jewel. After saying this, Krishna beats his Vajayanti garland and the Kastuba gem suddenly appears. Everyone laughs upon seeing the Kastuba gem rejoin the garland on Krishna's neck. The doe-eyed gopis submerge in the strong eddies within the current of the unfathomably sweet river of Shyam's drinking pastimes. While some gopis sing sweetly, others demonstrate their songs with dancing. Thus Krishna and the gopis make Cupid successful with their kissing and embracing. Sleeping pastimes. Seeing the gopis tiring from the waves of Krishna's drinking pastimes, Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, who is expert in opening and closing the eyes, suddenly appears. The sakis then enter various groves to lie down on their individual flower beds. Radhasham drift off to sleep on a beautiful bed of fragrant flowers, especially prepared by Vrinda Devi. While the gopis, slightly intoxicated from drinking honey liquor, remain within their kunjas, the famous and overpowering subjugation of love suddenly appears. The intoxicating mixture of liquor and love creates an even greater sweetness among the Braja gopis. This sweetness, which is revealed in the Vedas, is forever worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, Narada, and other demigods. However, no one but the venerable gopis of Vrindavan can relish the sublime transcendental sweetness known as Ujjala Shingara Prem. Closing. According to the instructions of the Sakis, who always see Radha Madhava's astonishing late night Madhupan Leela, pastimes of drinking honey wine, Shivananda's son, Paramananda Das, Kavikarnapur, knowing that this Madhupan Leela is Krishna's topmost pastime, ends his work at this point. I, Kavi Karnapur, the Acharya of Ras, am the son of Shivananda Sen of the Ambashta lineage. Having received the mercy of Lord Gauranga while associating with the Lord and his devotees during his Bhoma Leela, I have written this sweet poetic work entitled Sri Krishna Nika Komadi, which describes the delightful daily pastimes of Radha Madhava.